Our fourth reading. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion of your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. I delight greatly in the Lord, for my soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head as a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. So the best laid plans didn't work because my little advanced thing does not work. So you have to help me out, Dave. 1 second. Okay, so in October, a group of us from church, we went to the silent retreat at the Abbey of the Genesee, and it's in New York, about 4.5 hours from here, and it was our second time of what's now going to become, I guess, an annual trek. And people go for different reasons. Like some people, they just go there to rejuvenate. I know Pastor Dave is gone. For how many decades have you gone there? And it's just, yeah. And some people go to catch up on reading. And some of us go because the monks sing the Psalms 6 or 7 times a day. So it's really a neat experience. But for me, I go there because I intentionally take my time there to be in nature, because God forever speaks to me when I'm in nature. And I know he's always there, but sometimes it's like this direct text to God when he can just put me out there all by myself. And so last year when I went, this barn picture that you see, I came across it because there's this river and like 24, like a really long parkway that goes through there that you can walk by. And I traipsed around and I found this barn. And inside last year was this tractor. So I plopped up on the tractor after looking for snakes. And Jesus and I, we sat in that barn looking out over a cornfield for hours last year. So of course, where do you think I wanted to go this year? I'm going to go find my barn with my tractor, and God and I are going to have some conversation. But when I got there, something was missing. And my tractor was gone. So here's me going, wait a minute, God, how are you going to talk to me? Because you talked to me on a tractor in the barn, and it's not there. Well, what's going on? And then I remembered, wait a minute, last year, Julie, who came with us, she found the river that goes along here, the Genesee River. And she found it, and actually, she didn't just find it. She fell into it about here. So I remembered there were some rapids, and I loved that sound. So I got on my bike, and I rode around until I heard the rapids. And then went down the embankment. Thankfully, I landed on 2 feet instead because it had rained. And I found myself on a rock. And when I found this rock, literally, I'm sitting on it taking this picture here. And the sound, and if I could play it, it was so peaceful. I recorded it so I could take it with me anywhere I go. And there was this calmness that just comes over me, just hearing that sound and sitting on that rock. So like I usually do, I had my backpack, and I took out my to-do list of things I needed to go over with God while I was hanging out there. And because I had accumulated some things, because I had not been given myself quiet time like I need for myself. So I did take it out, and all of a sudden, he's just like, you know, put it down and just get quiet. So I just sat there and listened. And all of a sudden, like God does all the time, he gave me the story, this life story, using this. So where I'm sitting, if I looked out to my right, it looked like this. It was this calm river. And you can see it kind of comes around the bend, and it's just soothing. Kind of like life when things are going well, right? Cooking on all engines. Everything is going great. Things are at peace and calm. And so that's what it looks like. Then, all of a sudden, it looks like that. And before we know it, we have all these rapids that we have to go through. And sometimes there's these boulders that are in there, and you can see them. Those are those things you kind of know about. And they're known things, and they're just kind of in your life, and you're having to work through them. Then you can see all the turbulent under the water there, and that's all those little things that are getting you underneath, and they can drag you under if you're not careful. Sometimes it's, to me, the things that God's kind of having you wanting to work on, and he's giving you these nudges that, hey, by the way, you know, we need to work on this because I want you to be different. I want you to be transformed. And he has this period of this huge transition that ultimately goes to the next section of the river, which is this calm. And that's that lovely calm oasis that happens after you go from the first calm and through those rapids. And then you have that to look forward to. But to get there, you have to go through that. And it's scary. And when we face those times, right, whether it's something that is going on in your life or something that is within you that you know it's time to change, all of a sudden you live from fear and you live from anxiety and anticipation because there's a lot of unknown in that water, lots of unknown. You don't know where your next step is going to be. You have no earthly idea if you're going to land on your feet or get sucked under. And so it is so scary just to take those steps into that water and to let yourself go. And sometimes you can take a little side venture. And that's okay to do, right? Sometimes there's the little puddles that you can get on the side of the water. And you go hang out there for a while. It's kind of when you're sticking your head in the sand sometimes, or you just need a little bit of a rest. And you go into the puddle. But what you'll notice is right now it's really beautiful, right? The leaves and all. But if you look closely, you can see some scum starting to form. Because if we stay too long there and we don't allow ourselves to be transformed by God when he gives us these opportunities, then we get stagnant. And sooner or later, we have to get ourselves back into that flow. And guess where that flow is? It's in that. And sometimes you can see on the other side of the bank, there's some rocky things, and we can go and get caught up in the rocks for a while. And that's fine too, but that's kind of rough. But we think that that's better than actually going through the rapids. But if we go through, that's what we have to look forward to. So as I looked and I looked at this, I'm going, "You're it's amazing," because I completely saw life in the form of a river, and how he wants us to take that chance and to take that step with him. Because what he was telling me the whole way is, it looks like he's not there, but underneath that water in those rapids, he was like this. He says, "I'm going to be just like this, holding you underneath those rapids. You're going to think that you're not going to make it, but I'm the one that's going to catch you. You might go down a little bit, but I'm going to be there and I'm going to pull you back up. All right, I'm going to be that boat that takes you through the rapids. And when you get to the other side, I'm there with you too. So you're not going to be doing this alone. You just need to take that first step." So at about 2 weeks after this, Jesus and I were hanging out because, of course, my mind goes back to this. And we were hanging out, and I was listening to the sounds, and Jesus was meeting me, and there were some things I was working through, and I had kind of come to a roadblock. And Jesus said, "I need you to bring me some things. I need you to tell me what it is you're afraid of. I need you to bring that fear to me. I need you to bring whatever it is that's going on with you. You need to bring it to me." And so and along with that, it was weird because it was my adult self. And he said, "I need you to bring your 12-year-old self, whatever that 12-year-old is afraid of. She needs to bring that to me too. Oh, and by the way, that little 7 and 8-year-old self that's inside of you, that person also needs to bring whatever fear, whatever's holding them back, needs to bring that to me because I'm waiting for it. But I'm waiting for you to do it." And I sat on that rock, not the one you're seeing there, but there was one I was sitting on in this time with him, and it felt like years for me to get off that rock. I couldn't get off the rock. He was sitting there asking me to come to him, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. It probably took me 15 or 20 minutes in my time with him to get myself to say, "Okay, I'll do it." it was, oh, but I can tell you that moment I did, it was like this moment of surrender, right? We have to surrender our heart. We have to surrender our will. We have to surrender to the unknown and the uncertain things that might happen because we have no idea, to hop into that water, to go through those rapids and come out the other side. But at that moment when I did it and I came to that calmness, it was the biggest freedom I had felt in probably, I think, like in this area that I was working through, 25 years. I had waited 25 years for that freedom that I received because I answered his call to come to him. And again, he was waiting for me, and it was the scariest move I had made. And then when you get through it, he connected so many dots for me because what I thought had happened and was holding me back was actually infiltrating so many other areas of my life that I didn't even see. And so in that moment, I got so much more than I even bargained for. He always does that. We were expecting one little thing, and actually I never thought what was going to happen, and yet he gave me that and so much more. But guess what I had to do? I had to get off the rock, right? So I'll close tonight with, what is it that you're sitting on? What rock are you sitting on? What is holding you in place where God's given you nudges, and he's saying, I'm here for you, but I need you to make that move to me. I need you to do something. I need you to come to me with whatever it is that you've got going. But what has you anchored to a rock and unable to move? And how willing are you to take that moment to step into the rapids, to come out a new transformed person, another layer of the onion taken off, and another you, the God that he intends you to be, having that chance to become who he wants you to be. Right? Because it's waiting for you. He's just waiting for you. Thank you. Tonight, as you go and you head into our final week of Advent, into our Christmas joy of this coming weekend, may you consider in your heart what it is God has for each one of you and what gift he's waiting for you to open. He's already given us the greatest gift of all. So be at peace this week, and Merry Christmas.